For a minute, that reminded me of Christmas. And a great stocking stuffer would be the new book by Jen Lancaster, The Gatekeepers. How are you?
I'm good. It's so good to see you guys.
This is how many books for you?
This is number 15.
Have you on for the first one?
No.
Oh,
not
the first one. Was back in 2006. I saw you guys last year, and in the interim, I actually put out a self-published memoir because I didn't want this young adult book coming out with people filling my Amazon comments saying, why aren't you writing memoir now? So I had a ton of stories. My agent was on maternity leave, so I thought, I'm just going to do this thing myself. I sold more copies of this self-published thing that, let me say this, was not copy edited well. I've since fixed it. Yeah. More copies of that than anything else I have ever done.
So why would that be? What do you think was behind that?
I think people really want stories of me being drunk in a pool, honest to God. So I have written this really, really serious story. And at this point, I feel a little bit like Jim Carrey after he made the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
And people kept saying to him, why don't you talk out of your butt again?
Right.
Yeah, why don't I do that?
Well, you've been on with us several times. I know that, and I've been truly enjoying your Facebook Live posts.
Thank you.
Most recently, and you can follow her, jenlancaster.com is her website. You're on all social media. Your Facebook Live most recently was about a teenage kid who was on his bicycle and appeared to be drunk.
Oh, he was
Take it from there.
I know what drunk looks like. Mm-hmm. I am very familiar. Been there, done that? I know what drunk in class looks like. I know what drunk in a pool looks like. Mm-hmm. I was on my way to go buy loafers, and it was 2:15 in the afternoon, and I had been getting some pushback from the community saying, no, things don't happen here. Like, okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know that many people. And I stopped at my driveway. This kid went whipping past my driveway. Didn't even notice my car there. And it's mm-hmm. big. I mean, it's a big SUV. And it scared me. And I watched him turn the corner, throw his bike down. And I thought, did I somehow wing him? Did something happen?
Yeah.
And then just take a leak all over the sidewalk in the middle of Lake Forest, which actually, I've done work with the Citizens Police Academy. That is not illegal. So, if you're looking for weekend plans.
It isn't? I mean, during the day?
Public urination is not illegal.
Is it encouraged?
I don't
think. Probably not encouraged, but not illegal.
I don't think so.
All right.
So then I followed this kid because now he scared me because I thought I was going to kill him. And then he's peeing on the street. And I'm like, what is going on? So I pulled up to him on a street a few blocks down. And he was clearly drunk.
Yeah.
He was clearly drunk. And then he headed down the street to one of the $4 million houses on the block. I don't know which one. And everyone on Facebook was saying, well, you should call the police. You should call DCFS. Like, I don't know if he lives there.
That's not really your job either,
friend.
Is it?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know the right thing.
So at some point, some of what he was doing had to be illegal. If not exposing himself, if not urinating in a public place.
That's not illegal in Lake Forest.
No, that's what I'm hearing. But something had, driving a vehicle, is a bicycle a vehicle?
I think
while intoicated, that's got to be illegal.
Like I said, my husband and I took this citizens policing course, and it took me a few months not to go around wanting to make citizens arrests.
Of course.
I mean, I see crime everywhere, and I'm going to solve it. So I didn't know what to do about this kid.
I feel sorry for the kid. I'm sorry.
He seemed pretty happy.
Do you know exactly where he lives? Do you know which house is his?
It's one of 10, and he might have just been going to see a friend.
Oh,
so
that's
I don't
true
know.
Too.
I mean,
maybe he was going to his therapist's appointment.
Maybe.
I always like to look at the glasses half full.
Yeah.
Maybe he had been drinking Wild Turkey and he'd switched to light beer. So this is a step I don't know.
If you
I don't
knew
know
who his parents were, would you confront them and say that you would have?
Yeah. Yes, 100%.
What do you say? I'm just curious.
I think I would probably tell them to do one of the test kits, like have your kid pee on this stick.
Yes. Do it out in public where it's legal.
Well, he has no problem with that.
Right, obviously not.
But see, now, and as the parent of two kids, I try every day to do the best that I can. And I have a lot of nosy neighbors that we have a little lookout thing. So mm-hmm. they all watch and we do share information. But at some point, if this kid truly has a problem, the parents may very well be aware of it.
Right.
And then wouldn't they look at you and go, mind your own business, lady?
I think so. I think the North Shore is very much like that. They like to keep things on the down low.
Right, under
and,
the rug.
And that's something that I saw.
I saw Ordinary People. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, 100%.
That's
what was
such a good
interesting,
movie.
When I was doing the ride-alongs with the police officers this spring, they were telling me how many parents on the North Shore stock Narcan. And that's what you give your kid when they're overdosing on heroin.
Yeah.
And the reason the parents keep it, not only to save their kids' lives, but also to keep them out of the system.
Mm.
Which is kind of shocking.
I gotta say, it's to save their life first and foremost.
I hope.
I mean, I thank God no one in my family has a heroin addiction, but I know so many people whose kids do and family members. And I mean, if you have the magic pill to save the life of your child or husband or brother, you're going to do it.
And the face of the new heroin user is young and white and suburban, especially now, because you can do it in any form.
Right.
And these kids are getting sports injuries. They are being prescribed opioids. They're getting hooked on those. And then when they run out, it's easier to, you know, to go a few miles up the road and get actual heroin. And from what I understand,
it is to get
cheaper.
Beer.
Exactly.
They can't get alcohol.
Exactly.
That's a sad society, isn't it?
Right. So what I wanted to do is really look at this and figure out what it is that I could do to help.
Right.
And we'll see how it's received, because it could just be people want more stories about my dogs.
It could be.
I don't know.
It could be. But you do. You run the risk, should you confront the parents. You could get some parents who say, thank you for letting us know this. I have two kids. If my kids were doing something bad and somebody came and told me, I'd be thrilled. I'd be so happy that they took the initiative to do that. But then you also run the risk of them saying, this is our kid. This is our business. Thanks.
I've also lived in this house for 7 years and met like two neighbors out of the entire town. So it's not like people were lining up to bring us cookies and wine when we first moved in. And I can't imagine that this would help, but I don't think that it matters.
Maybe, yeah.
But it was very strange.
Wow.
Well, this, the Gatekeepers is...
Number 15.
I can't believe number it's number 15.
Number 15.
But this is kind of the gist of all of the Gatekeepers as well, correct?
Right. I am the world's biggest John Hughes fan. I even bought my house in Lake Forest because I wanted to be where he was inspired. So I always think about what he would think about the world today.
Yeah.
And for the first few years that I lived up in Lake Forest, I thought, these are the luckiest kids in the world. They have everything. I mean, because I see them living my life at 13.
Right.
Going to my personal trainer. I mean, the 16-year-old kids driving my car, except they got theirs new and not certified pre-owned. So I thought, these are the luckiest kids in the world. And then we had a suicide cluster in 2012, and that really opened my eyes that things are not as good as it seems. These kids are under so much pressure to achieve. And that wasn't anything I ever faced. I'm from Huntington, Indiana.
Yeah.
We had to close leaving the parking lot at lunch because too many girls got pregnant.
Oh.
There were 40 girls my senior year who had babies. There were entire husbands and wives at my school. So
and they narrowed it down to a parking lot?
Well, kids were leaving at lunch.
Oh.
We didn't have lot of drive-through restaurants.
I thought you meant that the babies were being conceived in the parking lot. I got very nervous.
Well, maybe they were.
Maybe.
After we
somewhere
weren't allowed to leave.
Yeah.
So I do not come from a place where the bar was set very high. So I took this incident and I really started to think of how John Hughes would see the world today. And I took the archetypes from The Breakfast Club and I put them into modern day to see where I thought that they would take themselves. And the conceit of everything he ever did, I mean, for teens, was that you're not alone. Everyone is going through something. And the only way to get through it is together. So that is what I did with these characters. And I'm really, really proud of it. And I hope people want to know more than just what's happening with my husband's beard, which is great right now. It's very full.
This is genius, Jen. And here's why. When we lost John Hughes a couple years ago, I thought to myself, somebody's going to pick up the mantle. He's really established a very nice world. Somebody's going to pick that up, and nobody did until you.
So, I hope so.
Good.
I hope so. I mean, I fell in love with these kids. I want to do more with them. I want them to be real.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, we'll see what the market dictates, honestly.
Quick break, and we're back with Jen Lancaster. You can go to jenlancaster.com. That's her website. The Gatekeepers is the new novel we're talking about. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720. WGN.
It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Jen Lancaster. She's written another book, number 15, if you're keeping track. This one's called The Gatekeepers. It's available wherever books are sold. Please elaborate on something you told Wendy and me during a break. When you're writing YA, young adult, They're very, very, very careful on the tone that you use in these books. They don't want to upset teenage readers, correct?
Right. This is something that was very strange for me because I'm used to working without a filter. And I'm, you know, I'm Generation
really?
X.
I never
so
knew that.
Yeah. So we're not the most politically correct people there are. And that's good or bad, I don't know. But there were so many different times during this process that I had sensitivity readers at my publisher saying, oh, well, you can't say this. And it was in one scene, one of the boys was calling another boy a word that begins with P because he was being the word that began with a P. And they said, well, you can't do that because you can't equate women's sexual organs with weakness because someone might find that offensive.
I said, but kids call each other that.
Have you talked to a 17-year-old boy? Have you? I had a bunch of them on the train behind me today, and trust me, I heard that word. And I thought it was very strange. Instead of making that like a teachable moment, call him that. But hey, you know what? That's not cool because of this. They're like, oh, you just want to do away with that. So I think the young adult world is doing a lot to protect kids in ways that I'm not 100% sure they need to be protected, which is why I may need to go back to my wheelhouse of getting drunk in the pool and then writing about
maybe. Did sensitivity readers even exist a couple of years ago, or is that a new profession?
I'm pretty sure it's new. Yeah. I have no idea what they were doing before.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it is amazing that they can find instances everywhere, and yet we live in a society where that Dove ad came out over the weekend where a woman uses Dove soap and she turns herself from brown to white.
Yeah.
They've since apologized.
But still, thankfully. It's so upsetting that it got to that stage where they actually made a commercial and nobody said, hey, this is going to offend some people.
I propose we take a few of the YA sensitivity readers and have them work in advertising. I think that would work out better for everybody.
When I was a young adult and I was reading Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, and books like that, I kind of was more drawn to it if there was a little risque stuff.
Right. It's not that they will avoid that. It is really about politically correctness. I mean, there's sex, there's drugs, there's drinking, but you can't say something that would be offensive to someone, which I think is odd. And again, my generation probably ruined it because we kind of ruined a lot of things. So maybe this is the backlash and we will eventually find good middle ground.
Can't you find something in almost any piece of literature that's ever been written that could potentially offend somebody?
Absolutely.
You could, right?
Yes, yes. But the young adult world has a very dedicated social media following.
Sure.
So they're the ones who are really putting it out there, like what you can and can't say. One of my friends wrote a book about her daughter's eating disorder.
Yeah.
And she got attacked by a lot of these young adult people saying, well, you don't have firsthand experience with it. Well, it was her daughter. She wrote the checks for the rehab facility. They're like, well, you can't possibly know. And that was a little bit odd to me.
So do you then, if you get a note from your publisher, your editor saying, look, you got to take this out or change this or change this, do you battle that a little bit and say, I'm worried about the reality of the moment? I want it to sound real. Or do you just say, well, they're in charge, I guess?
There were some battles that I fought because I thought that they were important. And there were some, like there are words now that I didn't know you can't use. You can't use the word gypsy anymore because I was describing a girl with a lot of bracelets. That's really, really offensive. And that's me being like a big ignorant boor.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. So when they pointed stuff out like that, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I don't want to take people out of the story because I've used the wrong words.
Right, right, right. That makes sense.
We were talking to you off the air. I did watch 13 Reasons Why because I have two teenage boys, 14 and 18. Oddly enough, they didn't watch it, but I wanted to be prepared in case they did. And what I will tell you is it opened up a dialogue. They had questions about suicide. This book covers it and gives warning signs and is really helpful.
Right, right. And that was the most important thing for me. And I followed all of the World Health Organization's guidelines for writing about suicide. I didn't make things salacious. And I explained a lot of the why behind. I mean, for example, what bothered me in the movie or in the Netflix show 13 Reasons Why is they left the girl's locker decorated for weeks and weeks. You leave that up for 2 days, then it's gone because it's a trigger for those who were friends with her. And it starts people thinking, those who didn't know her. It begins to put it on.
Look at
the
all
table
the attention
as an
she's
option.
Getting. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it was one of the best books I've ever read, like top five favorite things I have ever read. But I couldn't get past the first 20 minutes, I think, because I had been so involved in the culture of suicide and how to prevent it that it bothered me that they were doing things that I thought were kind of dangerous. But it started conversations, which is the most important thing.
That is. You have done it right. It's called The Gatekeepers. Young adult. What age does that cover?
I would say anybody from 13 and up. 70% of all young adult books are purchased by adults. So it's
for themselves or is
for themselves.
Yeah, for themselves.
Right.
I want to read this
because it used to be called just teenage readers or something along those lines, right? But now it's
there
not.
Wasn't the genre that exists now that it didn't used to exist like that. I mean, Judy Blume wrote 20 books, but
right.
I was a big reader. That was a week of reading for me. I mean, I could blow through mm-hmm. books. So when I was 13, I started reading like Stephen King because there weren't any more young adult books left in my library.
Right.
So, I mean, I grew up having to sleep with the nightlight on because Stephen King at 13 will mess you up.
Yeah. Even at 45, it might too.
Is there another one coming down the pike? Do you have number 16 already planned out?
I don't know what I'm going to do next.
Yeah.
I have ideas for young adult. I need to live some more of my life before I do another memoir.
Yeah.
I also have fiction, and I've been doing a decent amount of screenwriting. I've been doing a lot of meetings in LA, so we'll see.
Oh, good.
So I'll be doing something.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure what.
Well, keep us posted, please.
Thank you.
It's always fun to talk to you. It's Jen Lancaster, and again, the book is called The Gatekeepers. It's available now. Pick it up for yourself or somebody that you like or love. Thanks so much, Jen. Appreciate it.
Big fan.
Thank you.
JenLancaster.com.
All right, quick break. Some news is next. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN.